Monday, June 2nd, and the beginning of Fantasy Week 10, and a nice little surprise from the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. Oscar Tavares, welcome to the Bigs. Two-man show as Michael Hurkum is on vacation for the week, so it's Adam Azer and Scott White.
That's
hey,
right.
What's up, Scott?
Adam, I caught wind of this Oscar Tavares thing, but maybe a few things that eluded me because I was moving this weekend.
Big weekend for
I
you.
I now have a new residence.
How is it?
It's bigger. It's two bedrooms instead of one.
Oh, big.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, really stepping up there. Two bathrooms, too.
Full bathrooms?
Yes, full bathrooms.
Great stuff.
Yes.
How's the commute?
Exactly the same because it's the same complex. We just needed an extra bedroom.
All right. Well, congratulations, Scott.
Thank you.
And we look forward to the housewarming party.
Yeah.
When is that?
Whenever you want to come over, Adam. Whenever.
All right. Loving it. Everybody, party at Scott's place. So we'll talk about a lot of promotions. Ruby De La Rosa was really good. Marcus Stroman was really good. Oscar Tavares homered in his first game. Mike Moustakas was recalled. That one's probably less exciting. Steven Drew and the rest. In terms of the players who were already in the big leagues, I didn't know if there was a major standout storyline going on. How about you? Anything like jump off the page at you?
A major storyline.
I mean, like, we had 45 games, so obviously a lot of stuff went down, but it wasn't one of those. It was a pretty good weekend for injuries.
Yeah, as usual.
No. Like, it was actually not that bad in terms of the DL. Matt Adams went on the DL. Will Myers went on the DL. And A.J. Pollock.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Most of the injury-related news is players coming back.
Or day-to-day stuff like Trout.
Right. Oh, you just said it. Pollock. Pollock was the big injury.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks. And that stinks because he was getting, like, I think he was just coming off his best week yet. And I was really buying into him.
I know. I just added him in two leagues.
Yeah.
And now I'm stashing him in one league and dropping him in a shallower league. But that stinks. And it doesn't seem like there's, like, an exciting internal replacement there, is there?
In Arizona?
Yeah.
No, not really. I imagine it'll be a few different people rotated in. Nobody who's going to make a big impact. So, yeah, that's not good.
Well, then. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll try to get to those. Let's jump right into it, Scott White. Oscar Tavares called up with Matt Adams on the DL with a calf injury. Also, Randall Grichuk was called up Friday, but we don't really care about him. We care about Oscar Tavares, who's owned in 91% of leagues, and he hit a majestic home run.
Was it majestic?
It was. Pretty nice.
I read about it. I didn't see it. Didn't have the cable hooked up yet.
It was in the rain. It was just very poetic.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, this is... I had actually written in the start and sit hitters column Friday. I wrote that Friday night. That I was a little worried this whole theory about Tavares coming up this upcoming week for the games in the AL Park when they have use of the DH. I was a little worried that wasn't going to happen because even with Adams here injured right before that, they still hadn't called Tavares up. And then sure enough, that night they call him up and he does this. I think he had a hit yesterday too.
Yeah,
so
he did.
So I mean, it's a good impression so far. It's obviously just two games. My one concern, well, first of all, he needs to be owned in all leagues. He's 91% owned now. I think everybody knows that. This guy has as good a chance of any being this year's Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
But I am a little concerned about, like, is this a permanent thing? Because Adams is on the DL, and they do have these games with the DH coming up. If they get past that stretch, if Adams comes back and Tavares isn't completely killing it, would they just send him back down? I think that's a possibility. But if you're thinking about trading him or trading for him, might be something to keep in mind. Again, you own him just in case. I think there's a better chance than not that he sticks around. He had been playing center field in the minors, and they have a need there. But it's not 100% for sure.
So in terms of... Does this put Tavares ahead of Polanco for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Now, in terms of the other guys that were called up, Marcus Stroman, 6 scoreless innings. One run. Six innings, five hits, one run, no walks, six strikeouts against Kansas City. That was his first start. And Ruby De La Rosa just mowed down the Rays. Seven innings, four hits, no runs, no walks, eight strikeouts. And it's been a while since we've seen De La Rosa get any type of extended run as a starter. He was 3-5 in 2011. I'm not quite sure how many starts, but it was 55 and two-thirds innings pitched. So not too many starts, and he went he had a 3-5 record with a 3.88 ERA. But that was 2011. So he came up for the Red Sox. Stroman came up for the Blue Jays. They're both owned in 30% of leagues or less. Did you make a play for either Stroman or De La Rosa? I actually picked up both in different leagues.
You know, I go through every Sunday, and I make out my list in every league of the players I want, and I make a list of the players I can drop, and I start doing the whole drop this guy for this guy, drop this guy for this guy and this guy, drop this guy for this guy and this guy. You know, that whole pyramid thing. But I don't know if I used pyramid right. But anyway, and they didn't quite make the cut, either one of them. Stroman was ahead of De La Rosa for me, but let me just give you some examples of some guys I was picking up instead. In a couple of leagues, Colin McHugh was still out there. I was going for McHugh over these two.
Yeah, I made the exact opposite decision.
Yeah?
I just don't believe it. Like, yeah. We had this conversation a month ago, and he proved us right with a bad start or two. And then he proved us wrong. Well, not you. I was me and Herc specifically.
We were all doubting McHugh.
Okay, I don't quite remember what you'd said.
I was ready to write him off after that first bad start when he faced the Mariners for a second time, saying, oh, the league's caught up to him.
Yeah, I just don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
And then the second bad start wasn't really that bad. He walked a lot of guys. He shot himself in the foot, basically. That was against the White Sox. They didn't do anything to him.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for more teams to face him twice, which is going to happen.
Yeah.
But, okay, I mean, I completely understand why you went that way. Plus, he's a two-star pitcher, right?
Yes, he is.
Right.
Yes. And there was another league where Zach Wheeler was still available. Oh. That was pretty obvious. Had to go for him instead.
Right.
And then there was just some other leagues, I think, where hitters were available, and I just needed hitters more, like Arcia.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, we got to retrain ourselves to say that name. And Lucas Duda, who I think is going to have a big week with the Mets matchups and all the righties they're facing. So, yeah, I just wasn't able to get around to putting in a claim for either of those two. I would rather have it for Stroman because I think Ruby De La Rosa, I mean, he walked zero guys in this game, but he walked a lot of batters in the minors, even this before this promotion, 3.8 walks per nine, I think it was. So, I mean, in a deep enough league, he's worth a flyer. There's a lot of upside, but I have my doubts about the legitimacy of this start for him.
And his role, it's not clear when he's going to make his next start, as far as I know. And you've got DuBrant and Buchholz on the DL, so
yep,
they could come back. Whereas Stroman, if he pitches well, he'll stay in the rotation.
They kicked Liam Hendricks out, and he'd been good. That was surprising to me.
Mike Moustakas was recalled. Danny Valencia's on the DL. I'm guessing you don't care.
Not really. He hit well at Triple-A, but he's done that plenty of times before.
All right, Jacob deGrom. I decided it was a 16-team league. I was deciding between Stroman and deGrom. I'm kind of liking deGrom, and now Rafael Montero was sent to the minors. At the moment, Daisuke Matsuzaka is back in the Mets rotation, but I figure he's got a good chance of departing once Dylan G is ready to return, which hopefully will be soon. And I don't know, I guess I'm sort of buying into DeGrom. 32% owned, 0-2 with a 2.42 ERA, struck out 11 Phillies. He now has a strikeout per inning, four starts, all quality starts. How would you prefer him or Stroman?
I would prefer Stroman. I'm a little skeptical of the upside with DeGrom because he wasn't near the prospect Stroman was, or even the guy he beat out for this role, Rafael Montero. And although he's averaging a strikeout per inning in the majors so far, it was only 7.4 per nine throughout his minor league career, and it was 6.8 per nine before this promotion. So he does throw pretty hard, mid-90s. Maybe that's something with the strikeouts that'll change. I'm just skeptical this early in his career with that kind of minor league track record that's happening. And he has some control issues too, so.
Yeah. Okay. Who is somebody's tuning in right now. They want to know the must-add guy. That's not maybe not so obvious. I mean, Tavares, we can't say because he's 91% owned.
Right.
Who has to be owned? I've been banging the drum on Kendrys Morales. The draft is coming up this weekend. So after the draft, he doesn't need to be – the team signing him doesn't need to give up a draft pick. I got another candidate maybe, but who do you think is like the guy or one or two guys that must be added right now?
Must be added. Well
– and I don't think it was an obvious weekend for that.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I would say McHugh, honestly, but I just talked about him. So
that's fine. You can reiterate.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think how many starts has it been now? Eight? It's been...
Colin McHugh has made seven starts.
Seven starts?
He's 3-3 with a 2.80 ERA and over a strikeout per inning and only 12 walks in 45 innings.
And like I said, only one was where the opposition really got to him. Completely reinvented his arsenal this season, was more of a sinker baller before then. Now has gone power pitcher, fastball, slider, getting a lot of strikeouts.
But that's the thing. He's not a hard thrower. That's why.
Oh, he's a pretty hard thrower.
I
think he averages 90, close to 93 on his fastball. I mean, that's.
Is that a hard thrower?
It's not a soft tosser.
He seems like a pretty, like a 91-ish kind of guy. I mean, he's no Jared Weaver when it comes to soft tossing, but all right, I'll see what the good old Fangraphs has to say about it. But all right, I mean that I never considered him a hard tosser based on what I've seen, but yeah, he's averaging 90.6 miles per hour on his fastball. His peak is 94, but averaging 90.6 on it.
Maybe I'm thinking more in terms of the peak. I usually go to brooksbaseball.net for velocities, Adams, because they separate the different kinds of fastball.
So does pitcher throws. Fangraphs. I just don't know what their abbreviations are. FA, what the hell is an FT? I always forget.
Even if you don't want to call him a hard thrower, and look, 93 these days is closer to average probably for a starting pitcher.
Right.
He's going with a power arsenal, fastball, slider, and getting strikeouts. That's a power pitcher. So, and it's working. So I think it's gone on long enough that you need to take the flyer on him. If you want me to list off a few other players, I noticed I haven't let Michael Franco go unowned in anything deeper than the standard 21-man roster head-to-head format. Because I still think there's a good chance he gets called up. And Javier Baez has really turned things around to AAA. I'm not saying his call-up's imminent for the Cubs, but he'll be up this year. And he's shortstop eligible and has monster power.
Well, where does he play?
I don't know where he's been playing at AAA recently. I think he's been playing shortstop. But they've talked before about moving him to third base or second base, and they could find a way to get him in either of those spots.
Yeah, actually, Bonifacio's played a little third base recently and has gained third base eligibility, Emilio Bonifacio.
Very good.
Steven Drew either has been activated or will be activated. What do you make of the left side of the Red Sox infield right now? Because Brock Holt is a doubles machine. He had four yesterday. He has nine on the year. He's hitting .337, batting leadoff. We know that Bogarts has been good. By the way, you could ignore Garen Cecchini. He was called up, but he was sent down.
That was the most surprising thing from the weekend for me. Like, why would they call up a prospect of that caliber just for a one-game fill-in scenario?
That was weird.
Yeah. I'd rather see him than Drew, frankly. But I think Brock Holt is, for as well as he's performed, he's just out of luck. And... Bogarts was taking ground balls at third base the other day. They say that's where he's going. Drew's their shortstop. So, yeah, you can forget about Holt.
Would you rather own Steven Drew or Andrelton Simmons?
Simmons.
Ibar. As Drubal Cabrera. Denny Echevarria.
Drew.
Okay, there we go. We found it. And I was going to say a guy that maybe people want to think about adding is a guy you added. Well, first of all, two guys you added. One that you outbid me for, I'm very angry about. Very, very angry about. Kobi Rasmus.
Oh, yes.
Coming off
the
DL.
How much did you bid?
I bid $3. You bid $6.
Okay.
I should have bid more.
I went 4, and then I backed it out and went 5, and then I backed it out and went 6.
Yeah.
That was in our 14-team, 420-players rostered league.
And he's about 45% owned right now and could be coming off the DL this week. Eligible to come off Wednesday. They don't think it's going to be Wednesday, but you might have him for some of this week, all of next week. And Oswaldo Arcia, I'm kind of intrigued by because he's very athletic. I got to watch him. He's got a cannon for an arm in right field. So you could see physically the tools. Right now, he's one of the most added players. He's 39% owned. I had a tough time choosing between him and Willingham, and I went with Arcia.
It would probably be a situation where in Roto I'd go Arcia, and in head-to-head I'd go Willingham because Arcia doesn't walk at all. Willingham walks a lot.
Okay, good to know. Tell me if you think Drew Pomeranz or Drew Smyly are droppable.
I think, for the most part, I wouldn't want to drop either of them. That said, I had a league where I dropped each of them just yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're my two shallowest leagues. They're both head-to-head points. One's 10-team, but deeper rosters, and one's the standard 21-man roster format. And I dropped them both. I think I dropped Smyly to get a two-star McHugh, I think. And it's a situation where I'm only holding on to Smyly for the SPARP appeal. I got two decent closers. He's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to miss him that much,
right,
even though I still think he's pretty good.
Would you rather hold on to him or Alex Wood?
I'd rather hold on to Wood.
Okay. And Rowenis Elias threw a complete game shutout. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you want me to
speak
Pomeranz,
on Pomeranz?
Because I do still like Pomeranz a lot, too. But, I mean, this is a couple less than satisfactory starts in a row, and he's not going deep into games, even though it's been a few starts now.
Yeah.
They're not stretching him out as quickly as I thought they would.
Well, I mean, he's not pitching well now. Like, the first two starts, they were only throwing him 5 innings, and then the next two have been like, oh, he's only thrown five and a third and 4 innings, but he's pitched like garbage. So
yeah.
I don't know what their plan was, but he hasn't really given them much of an option.
And he hasn't gotten crushed, but he hasn't been. He hasn't been so great.
He's been bad. He's been 7 walks. I mean, that's concerned. 7 walks and 9 1/3 over his last 2 starts.
Yeah. So I think if nothing else, it says he's definitively behind the Keuchel. He's behind Bauer now for me when I go adjust my rankings. I mean, Bauer.
Yeah.
1 walk, 8 strikeouts. And I think, you know, we've talked about the walk rate with him before and how you know, all that effort he put into fixing his mechanics this offseason seems to have paid off with that. You go back and look at his velocities game by game throughout his career. He's throwing like 3 miles per hour harder this year with his four-seam fastball, which apparently when his mechanics really got off was that first year he got called up in Arizona and he hurt his groin like right away. And to compensate for that, he started throwing differently, and the velocity's been more average four-seamer 93. Now it's back up to 96. So there's that on top of the improved walk rate. Just really, really looking good for him.
And Rowenis Elias threw a complete game shutout. Let me remind everyone that he threw a very good start against the Yankees. 7 innings, 2 runs, and 10 strikeouts. That was on May 1st. Everybody went nuts. Pick up Rowenis Elias. Since then, 2-3 with a 4.80 ERA, and that was before yesterday. So
yeah, this was his first quality start in 5.
Yeah, that did not move the needle for me at all.
Yeah, I mean it's worth making note of, but he wasn't even on my list in terms of pitchers I was picking up. Just hasn't been the least bit reliable.
See, I'm just so confused, Scott, at all these velocities on FanGraphs and Brooks Baseball.
It is kind of confusing.
I don't know why there'd be such a difference, because Brooks Baseball says Colin McHugh's four-seam fastball is averaging 93 miles per hour this month, in the month of May. His sinker is averaging also 93 miles per hour. Whereas you look
Is there anything, what other pitch does Brooks Baseball say he throws?
Change, slider, curve.
Oh, and on FanGraphs it said 90.3
his average fastball all year is 90.6.
Yeah.
Now, Fangraphs lumps,
sinker in with fastball.
Yeah,
so,
but they haven't
you're
even
saying he's throwing the sinker just as hard across the Brooks baseball.
And then if you want to say, well, what was he doing in April? Because I only gave you the May readings. In April, no sinker data for Brooks baseball, and 92.52 on the four seam. So
this
doesn't
is
make
why
any sense.
I try to avoid going too deep into the PitchFX stuff. Because of exactly that, there's a lot of discrepancies between sites. I don't know exactly how they're gathering the data, but different people, I assume, classified pitches different ways. And so if you get into saying, oh, he's throwing his...
Oh, God.
He's throwing
it's
his curveball.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. It's not 90.6. It's 91.5. I looked at his career stuff.
Well, it still doesn't match up.
It's still lower. It's still lower, but
still doesn't
it's 91.5.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just get the sense it's still a work in progress. They're still trying to figure out the best way to gather that data and disseminate it. But it's better than nothing. And I think specifically for velocity evaluations, it can help.
All right, how about Cody Allen? 28% owned, got two saves over the weekend for the Indians.
Yeah, he looks like their closer. So I'm done with Brian Shaw. I'm pretty much done with Axford too.
He didn't even pitch this weekend.
Yeah.
In some close games.
He had a good stretch there in the beginning when they first moved to the middle relief, but then he started walking guys again and just he's not showing any signs of gaining it back. So Allen is a pretty big deal actually.
Yeah. That's maybe a guy owned. We should have said.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was so available.
Me
still,
too.
He's owned in all my leagues. 28% owned.
They didn't have. Maybe they didn't have that many save opportunities, but this took a while for something like this to jump out. But there you go, Cody Allen, make it happen. David Robertson was awful Sunday against Minnesota. He gave up 5 runs in 2/3 of an inning, blew his second save. And I did see in a roto league you picked up Dellin Betances. And I was thinking of doing that, but I was like, when would I start him? I don't know. So tell me
every
why
week,
you did that.
Every week, I plan to start Betances in that league where I picked him up. Just
for
he gets the strikeouts like a starter.
Yeah.
He has more than 50, a third of the way through the season. And so he's not going to hold you back in strikeouts. And, yeah, he's going to improve your ERA and whip. So there might be a situation where I have so many two-star pitchers, I just can't get him in there. But my plan is, honestly, to start him every week. I don't think everybody in every Roto League needs to do that, but if you need help in those two categories, he's a highly available option.
He's so damn good. It's awesome. It's like the only thing that I get excited to watch now with that boring crap team. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Mike Trout missed Saturday and Sunday with back stiffness. He is expected to play Tuesday. Start or sit?
Start.
Robin Ventura backed Ronald Belisario as his closer, and I dropped Daniel Webb in a league because Webb just hasn't been very good. Jose Abreu expected back today. Ryan Zimmerman targeting Tuesday, start or sit?
Because it's third base, I think I probably would start him.
Matt Cain on the DL with a hamstring strain, but is in line to start this weekend against the Mets, start or sit?
I'd stay away from that one. We've heard that before.
Yep. Mark Teixeira left Saturday's game with a sore right wrist. The Yankees expected him to miss a few games, including yesterday's game. I read today that it hurts him more when he's facing righties and batting lefty, so he might play against lefties initially. I don't know, but there's no way I'm starting him if I can avoid it. Agreed?
I agree.
Mention A.J. Pollock, 5 to 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the report.
Sit him.
Fractured hands. Yeah, sit him. Brandon Moss hurt his calf. He missed Saturday and Sunday. Start or sit? I know. So I'm struggling with this one.
Yeah, that's a struggle. I think, it depends on who I have. I hate to say that, but I think in most cases I probably would start him.
Yeah, it's going to be like I can move some people around and it would end up being like Moss or Bogarts or Moss or CJ Crone. In a roto league, and I kind of want Moss.
Yeah, particularly in roto, where if you have a bad week, it's not like that's something you live with forever.
And I need that home run category. Like, drawing walks isn't going to do much for me in that league.
Yeah.
Will Myers on the DL with a sprained wrist, and Jerry Sands was called up. He batted cleanup Sunday. AL only?
AL only.
Michael Pineda suffered a setback. He may not be back this month, according to MLB.com. I dropped him, but I think I dropped him prematurely. I might try to get him back. They're going to shut him down for about 10 days.
Definitely rather have Paxton now, though. That's
yeah.
Before I was saying Pineda.
You know, I got this thing with Pineda where the only two times that I know he was pitching without pine tar on his hand, he didn't pitch very well. So
that's such a small sample of everything there.
I know, but it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. Dustin Pedroia hurt his hand over the weekend, but he was back in the lineup Sunday. All right, starter sit Robinson Cano.
I'm starting him.
Cano has now missed four games this year, which is the most he's missed in 8 seasons.
Wow.
Seven in a row with 159 games played or more. Nelson Cruz, day-to-day with a bruised hand. Starter sit.
Start.
Carlos Beltran's going to begin a rehab assignment. Actually, they expect him back Thursday. I would say sit him.
Yeah.
Glad I didn't drop him. Michael Kadire playing some third base.
Like, did he get a start there? I meant to check that.
One or two, I think.
He started a couple games there?
Let me check.
That would be good news on a couple fronts. If he gets eligibility at third base, that's awesome, because third base needs all the help it can get. And two, it allows them to keep more of their other bats in the lineup.
Yep.
Like hopefully Blackman against lefties.
He's played 2 games at third base with 8 at-bats, so I assume those were starts.
The other thing, too, is they were in the AL this weekend, so they had extra places to play guys, and they still chose him to play him at third.
Yeah.
Played Dickerson at DH, and he had a good weekend.
He did. Billy Hamilton was scratched with a sore elbow on Sunday, start or sit?
I've made preparations to sit him, at least in the head-to-head leagues where I own him.
Carlos Santana targeting Friday, possibly Wednesday. Aramis Ramirez could be back early this week. Starter sit.
Sit.
Michael Morse fouled the ball off his foot. Didn't play Sunday. Starter sit.
Start.
Josh Hamilton expected back Tuesday.
Probably start him.
Yordano Ventura. I think I'm sitting Yordano Ventura.
Yeah.
Scheduled to start Wednesday, but it's risky.
Yeah.
And there are some changes to 2-star pitchers. Ubaldo Jimenez now gets 2 starts. Bud Norris 1. Colin McHugh 2 starts. And Drew Hutchison 2 if Hendricks goes to the bullpen. I don't know if Al sent this to me before Hendricks was demoted.
I don't know either.
Let me see if Hutchison is a 2-star pitcher. It looks like Dickey is a 1-star pitcher, and Drew Hutchison is. We still got him as 1-start. I don't know. Maybe with Stroman in the rotation, everybody's a 1-start.
Yeah.
No idea. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Most added and most dropped players. Number one is Chris Davis with a K. Scott said could be a good week for him. He's got good matchups. He's 88% owned. Jorge De La Rosa and Ruby De La Rosa are 2 and 3. Oscar Tavares 4 and Jaime Garcia 5. Any thoughts that we haven't covered yet? Jorge De La Rosa, number 2. And he's got 2 starts this week. He's got Arizona and the Dodgers at home.
Yeah, that's not... That's not something I can get behind.
I will never pick him up.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know why. Maybe I'm being stubborn, but I refuse.
No, the peripherals are terrible. Like, I feel like he got so lucky last year, both in terms of ERA and win-loss record. And he's having a lot of the same luck this year, I feel like. Very few strikeouts compared to the way he used to be, and a lot of base runners. So... I mean, if it goes on, I think in his case it would have to go on for years before I finally buy into it.
Oscar Tavares 4, Jaime Garcia 5, and then Colin McHugh 6. Would you rather have Garcia or McHugh?
McHugh.
Arcia 7, Chisenhall 8. Interesting, because he started against the lefty over the weekend.
He did.
And I think he had 3 hits.
He had a home run.
Oh, he homered off a lefty.
Yeah.
How about that?
And... I don't know how the weekend affected it, but when he was in my start this week at third base in the start and sit hitters, very few at-bats we're talking, obviously, because this is only his second start against the left-hander all year. But against left-handers this year, he was batting over 500. It was like, give him a shot, you know?
Yeah. Bartolo Colon, 2 starts this week. I considered Bartolo Colon, but... At Philadelphia seems like could be a bad one for him. And at San Francisco might be a good one. But you don't like Cologne and parks where fly balls tend to leave. So,
hey, San Francisco's got a really good lineup, so I don't know that I'd even trust him with that.
David Phelps gets two starts, and he's on the most added list. Seattle at home and Kansas City on the road. I actually could see this being a decent week for David Phelps. They don't let him go that deep into games.
Yeah, it's a problem.
But, seven innings, two starts to go, six innings last start out. Whatever, I'm not... He's whatever. Would you rather have Phelps or Colemanter?
I would rather have Colemanter.
We got Willingham, we got Marcus Stroman, Lorenzo Cain, Pierzynski's been hot. But he's a sit for you, right?
Yes, he is. He's a sit at catcher.
Lucas Duda, you said good matchups this week. Zach Wheeler up to 85% owned. Tommy Medica, 12% owned. He's day-to-day. He did play yesterday. Is he under-owned at 12%?
He played yesterday. Was it against a lefty? I feel like it was.
Chris Sale.
Yeah. You know how that went.
Cy Young.
Dude, I kind of feel like we have to talk about Chris Sale. Like, I know he's Chris Sale and everybody owns him, but...
It'd be pretty good.
This was a two-hit shutout.
Of a minor league team.
The Padres. Hey, they got Tommy Medica, all right?
Yeah. Headley homered.
What was that insane stat? I wrote down... Okay. All right. Chris Sale this year has given up 19 hits... in 45 and a third innings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who knew?
He's given up four hits in his last four starts.
What?
One of them was the three-inning one, so that kind of warps it a little. But still, that's insane.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept ending up with him. I have him on four teams. Didn't even realize it until he got hurt that I had him on so many teams. Maybe three. But I didn't even realize he was that good. I mean, I knew he'd been awesome. But
be glad you didn't trade him because, we've talked about Cy Young and whatever. I mean, I still don't know. He's so far behind in terms of innings. I don't know that he can do that. But he may be the best pitcher in baseball from this point forward. Maybe.
Yeah,
he's certainly really in the discussion.
Okay, so anyway, Tommy Medica, do you think he's under-owned at 12%? He's outfield eligible, right?
He's first base and outfield. I think he has gotten enough time there to get outfield. I don't know that he's underowned really. I don't trust the playing time to get him in against righties. They would have to start sitting Seth Smith, or they would have to play Carlos Quinton less. I just don't know that it's there. I think his best chance is to overtake Yonder Alonso, and I don't think the Padres are anxious to do that.
He is outfield eligible and first base eligible. So you'd rather have Duda than Medica?
Yep.
Would you rather have Josh Harrison or Medica?
I'd rather have Medica. Other than making great defensive plays, I don't know.
He's hitting pretty well right now for me.
What is he hitting?
Around 300. I'm opening his player page. He homered yesterday.
What's the OPS?
I think he homered yesterday. Let's get that slash line up.
Let's get it up.
Oh, and he's played.
Bring it up.
He's been playing some third base. Are they sitting Pedro Alvarez against lefties? I think they might be for him. All right, Josh Harrison is on a five-game hitting streak with three multi-hit games. He homered yesterday. And sorry, this is taking me forever to find his slash line. It is 294, 330, 486. But it's a recent hot streak is boosting it. And I think what's interesting about Harrison is he potentially blocking Polanco, who they moved to the leadoff spot in the minors to get him some experience there. He's eligible at third base now.
I just don't think he's that good, to be perfectly honest. He'd have to go on a really torrid stretch here to have any kind of impact on Polanco's call-up, I feel like.
Man, I hate to say it, but with the way Marte's been playing, I wonder if he would ever steal a bats from him or if he would play third against lefties. So now we can add Milia Bonifacio and Josh Harrison to the third base pool. They picked up eligibility over the weekend. Anything else on the most added list? I just want to caution everybody with Tommy Malone. I think you only want to start him when he's at home or maybe in like a big, big park. But that's been his MO all year.
I would say that the one guy we haven't talked about yet, Adam Lind. I know I put in a claim for him in a Roto Leaguer 2. It was pretty far down there. I don't know yet if I actually want him. I haven't had a chance to check. Because my internet wasn't working this morning with the move.
I didn't see you pick up Adam Lind in any leagues for what it's worth.
Okay. I think it's a situation where if you have enough a big enough bench that you can play this way, he's worth owning just for those weeks when they play face 5-6 right-handed pitchers. Because, I mean, he's hitting over 350 this year, which won't last, but last year against righties, he hit over 300 with, I think, over 20 home runs, OPS over 900. I mean, he crushes right-handers.
Yeah.
And he's pretty reliable for that. So, kind of like Seth Smith, I think he's worth owning for that reason.
And I'm not sure what they're going to do with their lineup going forward, but I had seen him batting in between Bautista and Encarnacion, which is pretty sweet.
Yep.
And I think yesterday he batted after Encarnacion, but still going to have some ducks on the pond. All right, how about some more notes from over the weekend? Devin Mesoraco homered twice Friday at Arizona. He's awesome. Yanherba Solarte had been slumping, but he had a pretty good weekend. He hit the ball well. He flew out to the wall yesterday. I think he had an 0-for-3, but seems like he's out of his funk. Anthony Rizzo homered twice. Hanley Ramirez homered twice, each in one game. Lonnie Chisenhall we talked about. Alfonso Soriano. Boy, has he been bad. And sitting, like yesterday, they DH'd Zoilo Almonte. And Ichiro has been playing over Alfonso Soriano, possibly because Soriano's defense has been so bad. He dropped a fly ball, like a line drive. That was either Friday or Saturday in right field. Beltran coming back. I don't know what happens to Soriano, but I looked up his stats 2 years ago. Last year, he was pretty consistent. But 2 years ago, Soriano, from his first game of the season, which was April 5th, until May 14th, so 2 weeks less than what we're at now, May 14th, he batted about 250 with no home runs. He slugged 302. From May 15th to June 1st, he hit 8 home runs. So
that's the danger.
I want the Yankees to just put him in the damn lineup and let him get hot, but they're not doing it right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of a situation where he's usually been infuriatingly streaky like that, and I think last year was so good that we forget he was kind of on a decline the previous few years. He's kind of had a David Ortiz like career where he reached a point where his numbers fell so much that you're like, okay, this guy's too old. I'm pretty much done with him. And then there was this resurgence that put him back on everybody's radar. So I have real questions about Soriano, as do the Yankees, apparently.
And he can't play defense.
Right. It's enough that I want to, in a shallow league, like a three outfielder league, I'd be okay dropping him and completely realizing that it could be another Chris with a K Davis situation where I advise everybody to drop him and then, like, as soon as that happens, he turns things around and goes on a big hot streak that makes everybody want to add him again.
Would you drop him for Josh Willingham or Oswaldo Arcia?
No. I think it'd have to be better than that. And I think in most three outfielder leagues, you could find better than
that. Would you drop him for Brett Gardner in a points league?
I might, yeah. Might do that.
Because I see him available in a lot of points leagues. Would you drop Soriano for Josh Harrison? No, not Josh Harrison. All right. Well, I think if you're not going to drop him for the two outfielders, how about Marcelo Ozuna?
I don't think I'd drop him for Ozuna either.
All right, we have a good idea then where you're at. Tommy La Stella, 11% owned. Do you feel the need to add him in any leagues? He's batting 400 and slugging 400. No extra base hits.
He was on my list in some leagues. I just found my middle infield need wasn't great enough to take a guy that at the end of the day I don't think is going to offer much power or speed, even though he does have a steal. I'm hopeful that the way he's reaching base right now, he becomes the Braves' leadoff hitter and can make more of an impact there as a run scorer. But I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Ryan Braun homered twice over the weekend, drove in 5. He's, still removed from that oblique injury, hopefully getting healthier. Chris Jimenez, catching for the Rangers, has been hitting well. Any interest there, two-catcher league?
No, I don't think so.
And what about Corey Dickerson? Does he have any value?
Like I said, he DH'd over the weekend and hit well, so maybe that earns him some more looks. I don't know if I really wanted to, though, because that comes at the expense of other good players, probably. Unless they stick with Kadir at third, then they can probably get Dickerson without interfering with Blackman or Morneau. So, yeah, maybe as like a, I don't know, sixth outfielder, seventh outfielder.
Yeah.
There is good upside.
And you're only one Carlos Gonzalez DL stint away from from him playing.
That's true.
All right, pitching time. Pitching superheroes from over the weekend, other than Chris Sale. I want to know if you are if you're changing your mind about any of these guys who are owned in about 80% of leagues or more. Corey Kluber. I'm pretty sure he leads baseball with strikeouts. 95 in 80 innings. He struck out 12 Rockies, and he's got a 3.04 ERA, six straight starts with 8 strikeouts or more.
No. Yeah. I was going to say 6 of 8 with 9 or more. So either way you want to go, he's been striking out a lot of guys.
John Lester struck out 12 Rays, and he has 95 strikeouts in 80 innings. So if Kluber leads baseball, then Lester must too. I'll double check on this. But he had been, you know, okay over the last like 5-ish starts. That was a nice start for Lester. Mark Burley, 8 shutout innings, 3 strikeouts, 6 hits against the Royals. Phil Hughes at Yankee Stadium, 8 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, which is like a lot for him. Only 2 runs, 6 strikeouts. Trevor Bauer mowed down Colorado. Jason Hamill, 7 scoreless against Milwaukee. No walks, 8 Ks. And Ian Kennedy gave up 1 run in 6 innings at the White Sox, struck out 9. He walked 3. Have any of these guys changed your opinion on them?
Recently, not so many have, but I mean that like my opinion had already changed for Kluber,
right,
and for Lester, and for Hughes, and for Kennedy. I already thought they were good or great. Lester near ace level. Kluber actually near ace level, probably. But some of the others, who are the others? Burley,
Hamill.
Hamill. And Bauer. I mentioned Bauer earlier that, yeah, I'm moving him up.
Hamill's got this nasty slider. And he faced the Milwaukee team that entered the game with 10 hits or more in 9 straight games, and he held them to 4 hits, no runs, and 7 innings. Still not feeling it?
You know, I'm not really, but it did force me to take a longer look this last start, because I thought he had started to tail off a little, the innings down, less than 6 innings in his previous 3.
Yeah.
Not that he was that bad, I think, except in one of them, but I don't know. The main difference between previous seasons is the walk rate, 1.9 per 9. When the previous seasons, 3 seasons, it was over 3 per 9. He was a bad control pitcher. And his stuff is good enough that I think if he really is that good in terms of control, he could be better in fantasy than I've been giving him credit for. I'm just not that confident it's going to last. It's lasted a third of the season, so I give him credit for that. But he was available in a couple leagues, and I went for Colin McHugh instead. I think I had a claim in for Paxton over him, with Paxton nearing a return. So I think in most leagues he probably does deserve to be owned, but I wouldn't be putting a ton of confidence in him. And I guess I could say the same thing for Burley for the most part, too, where the base runners had been way up the last few starts, so it looked like he'd been close to becoming the Burley of old. But I don't know. It's just they've been so good for so long that
yeah, I know.
I just
tough.
Don't think you can ignore them anymore. Like, I don't trust them, but I'm not just writing them off either.
Are you worried about any of the following studs, guys owned in 80% of leagues or more, and I think really 90% of leagues or more with all these guys, who struggled over the weekend? Max Scherzer, not terrible, but 9 hits and 6 2/3, 4 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts at the Mariners. Jeff Samardzija got lit up by the Brewers. Hisashi Iwakuma struggled against Detroit. Adam Wainwright had his second really bad start. This one came against San Francisco. Garrett Richards couldn't get out of the first, gave up 5 runs. I don't even think he recorded an out.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It was bad.
Jared Weaver, 5 earned runs, 6 total on 11 hits and 6 innings. And Lance Lynn, terrible against the Giants after a complete game shutout in his previous start.
Well, I mean, most of these are one and done, I assume. I mean, Samardzija had a 1.68 ERA or something before this start. An exception is Scherzer, who's it's been three in a row, like you said. But I don't see anything going on with him that's different from before. It's not like the velocity, there's been a sudden drop in that. It's not like he's walking a bunch of guys. I think he's going to be okay, and it's just a rough patch. Lynn, I might say, is interesting because the one thing you usually count on Lynn for is strikeouts. And he hasn't had, like, individually start by start, he hasn't had a strikeout per inning in his last seven starts. It's all been, I think he had one where he had the same number of strikeouts per innings and all the rest were less. So he's not really giving you strikeouts, even though he's pitched okay for the most part. So I'm a little discouraged by him. I don't know that I could say worried, but a little discouraged.
And I'll do some more news and notes here. Zach Britton got his fourth save Saturday for Baltimore. Tommy Hunter's nearing a rehab assignment, but I think they'd be crazy to put him back in the role.
No, I don't see that happening.
Jason Grilley struggled a little bit last night. It wasn't that bad. The hit he gave up was really like they were playing no doubles defense, and Scott Van Slyke hit one. Wasn't well hit, kind of fell in front of the left fielder. So he's been pitching pretty well, even though he gave up a run and walked two yesterday. Slider was dancing all over the place, but out of the zone. Injuries, news, and notes. Jared Saltalamacchia on the 7-day DL with a concussion. Buster Posey returned to the Giants lineup Sunday. Cameron Maybin day-to-day with calf tightness. Gio Gonzalez aiming for June 11th. Matt Wieters unlikely to be back in the next 2 weeks. And season-ending surgery still an option for Wieters. Mike Napoli expects to return Sunday. And Henderson Alvarez is in line to start Tuesday and be a two-start pitcher for the Marlins, who were swept by the Braves in a huge series here in South Florida. Very exciting, right?
I was very excited, from watching from afar.
Who's this Simmons guy that they called up?
Simmons.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's their second Simmons, isn't he?
I hear good things about him.
I mean, I haven't seen him pitched yet, like I said. Moving.
No cable.
Of course, I could have just driven down to Marlins Park, but, you know, that would take a lot of time away from the move.
Sure.
The minor league numbers are pretty crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
I was watching the low game hit rate. They were saying,
insanely high strikeout rate.
He's a middle reliever, so don't worry about it for fantasy. But
well, he did get a save the other day when Kimbrel was tired.
Yeah, yesterday he got a save, but
I just thought it was weird that they went to him in that situation as opposed to, I don't know what David Carpenter's availability was. I know he got roughed up earlier in the weekend. But they might be ready to use him in high leverage roles already. Not closer, obviously, but high leverage.
So we'll read some emails. Mitchell from Jersey City says he needs to drop one in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. Drew Pomeranz, Garrett Richards, Jesse Chavez, or Yordano Ventura?
Okay, read those off for me one more time.
Pomeranz, Richards, Chavez, Ventura.
I'd drop Pomeranz of that group, actually.
Reggie from Charlotte, North Carolina. My numbers 3, 4, and 5 outfielders are Ozuna, Kemp, and Eaton. When Polanco was called up, which outfielder do I drop?
Ozuna.
Third baseman, Aramis Ramirez, will be activated this week. I'll need to drop a starter. Quintana, Miley, Vogelsong, or Skaggs?
You should drop Miley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about 4 home runs allowed by Wade Miley yesterday?
He's been bad, and like he has 20 strikeouts in his last 2 starts, so that's good. But he just can't figure out what kind of pitcher he wants to be because he has the big home run game. He's had big walk games earlier in the year, recently getting a lot of strikeouts. I don't know what to make of him.
Well, I just think it's weird. Miley's allowed 14 home runs this year, which matches all of 2012 when he pitched like 198 innings.
Yeah, that was his rookie year, right? It was really good.
And he gave up 21 last year in 2013, which isn't terrible.
No.
But already 14.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of feel like, I don't know, like if you're in a deep league, you could trade for him. Maybe he'll get better. Not like the most exciting player to trade for or anything, but I'm just thinking about our 14-team categories league where it has like nobody on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, obviously, you can't have Dellin Betances because I have him in that league. But I feel like somebody like Miley's going to hurt your ERA and WHIP.
I don't know, but his ERA his first two seasons was 3.55 or lower.
Yeah, I was thinking more WHIP, but I don't know. I feel like if there's a really good middle reliever, and this being a head-to-head categories format,
right,
might make a difference, straight roto. But, yeah, I don't like it.
Sox fan says, hey, Alcides, Yunel, and Eduardo, I need help replacing Carlos Santana for 1 week in my points league. Any suggestions that might be available? He says he needs to fill either a second base or a third base spot. Okay, I don't really. Oh, I get it. I get it. Brock Holt, Matt Dominguez, Derek Dietrich, Brian Roberts. Would you prefer any of them?
I would prefer Dominguez of that group, and it's not a hearty endorsement, but apparently that's the best he can do.
And would you go with a one-start Tanner Roark at San Diego or a two-start David Phelps against Seattle and at Kansas City?
Roark.
Yeah, Roark's good. Greg needs to start one this week. Tony Cingrani, Drew Pomeranz, or Marcus Stroman?
Go with Pomeranz.
Really?
Okay. Yep.
At the Yankees. Stroman is... I can't remember the matchups. Damn it.
It's just one start for Stroman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're all one start.
Yeah, okay, then. Unless, and Cingrani's been...
Oh, Cingrani's two starts, I think.
No, he's not two starts. I don't think he's two starts.
Okay, you're right. One start.
Yeah, so he's just been way too unreliable. I'd go Pomeranz.
Scotty Barnes from Charleston, South Carolina. When Kendrys Morales is signed or Gregory Polanco is called up, would you drop Marcelo Ozuna to activate one of them? Or would you rather drop Vogelsong, Nice, or Garrett Richards?
I would rather drop Ozuna, I think.
Mike in Detroit, dear Scarecrow, Joker, and Bane.
That was terrible.
Was it?
It was pretty bad.
Should I trade? I was wondering who I should trade
That's
first.
That's better. You had to get a little deeper
your
there.
Your spirit or your body?
All right, that's pretty good.
Thank you. Should I trade Alan Craig for Alex Gordon? I can play Victor Martinez at first base and Oscar Tavares at utility until Votto gets back. 12-team head-to-head points league. Trade Alan Craig to get Alex Gordon.
No.
You'd rather have Craig.
I mean, you could start Craig in the outfield, too, and I think he's better, yeah.
Jorge D. from New York. Hey, Doug, Skeeter, and Mr. Dink. I don't remember Mr. That's Doug.
Douglas! Did I ever tell you about the time?
I don't remember that. With Will Myers headed to With Will Myers headed to the DL, could you recommend a pickup from the waiver wire? The following players are available. Chris Davis with a K, Anthony Rizzo, Brett Gardner, Everett Cabrera, Adam Lynn, Seth Smith, Brian Dozier.
All right, what was the question? Sorry. I was thinking about Mr. Dink.
Chris Davis, Anthony Rizzo, Brett Gardner. It's going to be one of those three.
Yeah, it is. Well, no, there's Dozier at the end, too.
Oh, I didn't see Dozier. Yep, Dozier.
It's between Rizzo and Dozier. I will say Rizzo.
And we've got an international listener from Israel who wants to know, you guys were talking about Chris Sale as a legit Cy Young contender. As a Sale owner, I agree. Who are some bigger name starting pitchers you would pass over in favor of Sale? Like Verlander by now?
Yeah, certainly Verlander. I might move Sale up to as high as sixth. I think there's a clear top five right now in no particular order. Kershaw, Darvish, Scherzer, Hernandez, and Wainwright.
Yeah, the thing about Sale, I mean, obviously, you know I love him. I've been saying Cy Young, whatever. I don't think you can completely say he's not an injury risk.
Right.
You know, these arm issues pop up from time to time, and he's already been on the DL. But would you move him ahead of Price, Strasburg, or Bumgarner?
Oh, I forgot about Price. I do like Price a lot.
I don't think you can, Scott. You already put it out there.
Well, no, I mean, I already put out I think Price is going to win the Cy Young. But these are rest of season rankings.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be close between him and Sale. But definitely Bumgarner, and I think definitely Strasburg, too.
All right, so he'll be at least, at worst, seventh.
At worst, seventh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll have John Heyman on Fantasy Baseball today at noon Eastern time, so check that out. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Everybody, I know you miss Herc. He'll be back next week. See ya.